We live in a world where people are impatient. We live in a world where people want everything right now. We want our printers to print right now. We want our emails right now. We want our food right now. And we want God to bless us right now. And because we are impatient, we often get ahead of God. I talk about being impatient today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages out of the book of Judges. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a look in the book.
I want to talk about getting ahead of God. Getting ahead of God. High five somebody and tell them Pastor going to talk about getting ahead of God. Getting ahead of God. Y'all going to pray with me this morning? Getting ahead of God. We live in a world where people are impatient. We are living in a world where people are in a hurry. NPR, National Public Radio, had a discussion on people being impatient. They said that we as Americans are all tensed up and all stressed out because we are impatient. They said that we as Americans are overweight because we are impatient. They said that we as Americans are broke. We're busted and disgusted because we are impatient. Some people blame our impatience on technology. They say we want everything right now. We want our computers to give us the information right now. We want our files to be downloaded and uploaded right now. We want our emails right now. We want our facts right now. We want our cell phone to give us the information we're looking for right now. We want everything right now. As a result, we have produced a generation of children who want everything right now. Miss Alexander Levick talked about this in her book, They Don't Teach Corporate in College. Says that the 20-somethings, better known as the millennium generation, are eager to bounce up the corporate ladder without putting any time at the bottom of the ladder. In other words, they want to get to the top of the ladder, but they don't want to work their way up that ladder. In other words, the 20-somethings are impatient. But you don't have to be 20-year-olds to be impatient. Oh, I know a lot of 30-year-olds and a lot of 40-year-olds and 50 and 60 and 70. You can be 80 years old. You can even be 100 years old and still impatient. As a matter of fact, right in our lesson today, we're going to read about a man who was impatient. He couldn't wait to be a king. Notice now, we're going to be looking at this man called Abimelech. And I want you to go with me this morning. I want you to walk with me this morning through this text, these first 25 verses. I'm going to just kind of bring some observations out along the way. But then at the end of the sermon, I'll give you three takeaway points. Will that be all right? Y'all going to come and walk with me? I'm going to have to walk by myself. Notice now, we see the rise of Abimelech. It says in verse 1, and Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, that was Gideon. Gideon's name was Jerubbaal. And the word Jerubbaal, by the way, means Baal fighter, because Gideon was a Baal fighter. You know, Baal was the idol god, and God called Gideon to get rid of the idol Baals in that community. And so the Bible says here that Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brothers and commune with them and with all the family of the house of his mother, father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, for it's better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I'm your bone and your flesh. Now notice now, we see the impatience of Abimelech. His daddy hadn't been too long in the grave, and now he's wanting to take his daddy place. Matter of fact, he want to be greater than his daddy, because his daddy was a judge in Israel, because at this time Israel didn't have no king, but he's wanting to be the king. Matter of fact, he's wanting to be Israel's first king. He's impatient. Can you see him being impatient here? And he's coming up with a scheme. He says, is it better to have 70 bosses telling you what to do? Or is it better to have one boss to tell you what to do? Is it better to have 70 of Jerubbaal's sons ordering you around, or is it better to just have one of his boys ordering you around? And remember, I'm one of his boys, and matter of fact, me and you, we flesh and blood here. So it would come out better for y'all, don't you think, if y'all go on and just make me your king. Now, notice they listen to his proposition, but they began to act on his proposition. Look at verse number 3. And it says, his mother's brethren spoke of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to Abimelech, for they say, he is our brother. Oh, they bit off on the deal, didn't they? Notice they say in verse 4, and they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech had vain persons and light persons which followed him. Notice now, it seems like these folks lack some spiritual discernment. It looked like they ain't using much wisdom here. They just trying to get somebody because of the skin issue, because he looked like one of us, and he's flesh and blood. He's one of us. And so I think it's a good idea. That's what they basically saying. As a matter of fact, you know that folks done bought into what you have said when they put some money with it. See, anybody can say, I believe in you. I think you can do it. I want you to be our king. But it's another thing when you go there and rob Baal's house and use some money and put it in their pocket to help them be king. You know, talk is cheap, but money talk. Look, the Bible says that, notice what this man did. He took that 70 pieces of silver. And it looked like they gave him one piece of silver for every one of the sons. Did you notice that? In other words, this seemed to be blood money. In other words, for everyone you kill, then there's a piece of silver they're going to put towards it. This is what I call selfish ambition. It's one thing to have some ambition, but it's another thing to be selfish ambition. You know you got selfish ambition when you're willing to lie, cheat, steal, and kill somebody. That's selfish ambition. And we see selfish ambition here. And notice, because this fella, Abimelech, was a hoodlum, guess what he went? He went and hired him some hoodlums. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all the dignified crowd up in here. But he went and hired him some worthless fellas. That tells us a lot about him. Because it takes one to know one. Verse 5, and he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and he slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. In other words, he went to get 70 of them, but he only got 69, and he killed them all on one stone. In other words, he had a soul train line. I mean, he just started killing them all on one stone. This seemed like to me, I don't know, I can't really prove this, but this seemed like that this was a crazy ritual kind of thing. Because this one stone, I believe, was probably the altar. And he put those sons on the altar and was sacrificing Gideon's sons, probably to the idol god Baal. I don't know, I can't prove that, but it says on one stone. See, it mattered to this man Shechem, it mattered to this man here, Abimelech, where he killed these people. See, he just could have killed them anywhere. But it mattered that he killed them on that one stone. So that lets me know it seemed to be a religious sacrifice. He done took the idol God's money. So now it seems like he's sacrificing people to the God. Are y'all with me this morning? Now, think about it. If you heard about somebody went down there to the church and sacrificed, killed 70 people or 69 people, what would you think about that? Somebody would probably raise the question, where is God? Where was God when they killed these 69 people? Where was God? You know, anytime something bad happened, that's what folks often ask. Where was God? Whenever there's a tornado or something, they say, where was God? Whenever there was a hurricane and it destroys a lot of lives, they say, where was God? Even when the bomb went off over there in Boston the other week, folks was asking, where is God? When that plant down here, that fertilizer plant, blew up and killed some folks, folks was asking, where is God? Where was God? That ain't the question that you ought to ask whenever you see bad things happen to folks. The question you ought to ask is, where's man? That's the question. God is where he always been. But where is man? You know, I grew up watching the lit show Dennis the Menace. And anytime something was messed up around Mr. Wilson's house, he said, Dennis! Because he knew if something was messed up, it must have been Dennis. If something is messed up in our world, don't be saying, where's God? Say, where's man? God ain't never done nothing wrong. But it's always man. See, man is always either getting ahead of God or he's staying way back from God. He's either done ran ahead of God and doing stuff that God ain't never told him to do, or he's way behind God. God done told him to do something, and he's slowing around getting it done. So the question that we ought to be asking today, whenever you see bad things happen to folks, ask the question, where's man? Look at this renegade here. If God didn't do this, a renegade done this. That was a man who was possessed with self. When a person is possessed with their own self, that's dangerous. When you are possessed with your own selfish ambition, you're willing to do anything in order to get what you want, that's dangerous.
Look, the Bible says, and all the men of Chicken, verse number 6, gathered together in all the house of Milo and went and made Abimelech king by the plains of the pillar that was in Shechem. They crowned them king, didn't they? They crowned one of their own king. It was a matter of skin, not a matter of sin. Regardless of what this brother done, went and killed 69 people, I would have been scared to make him king. One of us, because if he can kill them 69, it ain't gonna be nothing for him to bump off somebody else. If he gonna do that, coming to the throne, just what he's going to do when he got all power on the throne. They made a mistake in running after skin rather than looking at the man's sin. They got ahead of God. And notice, they had this big old coronation ceremony. They're crowning him king, and as they are having all the pomp and circumstances, notice we got a party pooper that come and mess up the party. Verse number 7, it says, and when they told Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Y'all listen to me. Let me tell you something about God. And notice now, he gives the first parable in the Bible. We come to the first parable. You know, Jesus used to tell parables. And you know what a parable is? It's an earthly story with heavenly meaning. And so this man is going to give us the first parable in the Bible. He's going to give us an earthly story that has heavenly meaning. Look at what he says. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? Notice the trees went to make the olive tree king, but the olive tree said, man, I already got a good job. I'm producing a lot of good olive oil and stuff. Should I try to take a promotion in order to just to be over the tree? I'm satisfied with what I'm already doing. And the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? In other words, the fig tree said, I already got a good job. I like just being a fig tree. Notice verse number 12. It says, then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine of which cheered God and man and go and promote over the trees? The vine, in other words, the grapes, said, man, we already got a good job. Matter of fact, if folks just drink enough of us, we make them all happy. So the olive tree said, no, thank you. The fig tree said, no, thank you. The vine tree said, no, thank you. Well, what did they do? Verse 14. Then said all the trees unto the bramble. In other words, you know what a bramble is. That's a thorn bush, the bramble bush. That's one of these like lit bushes that you see on Gunsmoke tumbling weeds like. So they went and talked to the tumbleweed and said, come thou and reign over us. See, they desperate. When folks are desperate, they'll do anything, won't they? And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So the bramble bush said, hey, that sounds like a good idea, but y'all better be real. You better be real about it because I don't play. Because if you mess with me, then I end up burning you up. You know, an old dry bush can burn up anybody. You know, that's what's going on now out there in California. They got some dry bushes, and them dry bushes done burned up a lot of acres. And so this bramble bush say, hey, y'all better be serious if you want me to be king. Because if not, I'll burn you up, set you on fire. Now, what did all that mean? He give us the interpretation of his parable here in verse number 16. Now, therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hand, for my father's fault for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of the Midian. And ye have risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his son 70 person upon one stone and have made Abimelech the son of his maid. So he wasn't even one of the wife's children. He was like on a snort nigger. He went and hung up with the mate. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Let's leave that alone and let's go down the road a little bit further. Amen. Amen. Gideon was messing with one of the maids and got caught. That's what that was, and came up with an Abimelech. Amen. Amen. We are live at Bible Way. Notice what he says, verse number 19. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jeroboam and with his house this day, then
sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.